inflammation is good for the body until it gets off track, out of whack, off the rails, just creating that cytokine storm. So what the body needs to do is it has to have breaks and a check on that inflammation system. So the body needs to know when there's enough inflammation and it's time to stop the inflammation. And what we see with the virus is that stop mechanism is gone.
Well, there's a Pomeranian that's already been tested positive. And he was the pet of somebody who was positive. And so,
yes.
You know, was it a chicken and an egg? So did the Pomeranian get it and give it to his person, or did the person get it and give it to their Pomeranian?
It could be 100 times the number that we're actually being told. If you do the algorithm on the math that shows the exponential climb. And we just haven't hit that number because we're not testing here in the United States. You know, I sent you the link with the doctor on the news talk where they literally shut him down discussing that we don't have the ability to test. If we don't test, we have no knowledge of it existing.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have three really great experts coming to the program today. I have Scientist Max, I have Dr. Joe, and I have Dr. Loretta, and we are going to be talking about the coronavirus or the bioweapon, COVID-19, and a lot of things that you haven't heard in the mainstream media, things that people need to know about this virus. And it keeps us a moving target. I thought I had my arms wrapped around it, and I keep learning more new things every day. And we will keep having updates like this. I look for the best experts I can find, and I'm telling you, these guys are excellent. They're great. They know what they're doing. And so I wanted to pick their brains and so we can get a better understanding of what this whole mess is about. And again, this is a really important interview. So let's get into the interview with Max, Dr. Joe, and Dr. Loretta.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
We have an important show to do today to really set the record straight as far as what's going on with this coronavirus, as far as what we know at the moment. And I have three of the top experts I could find in the world on the show today. Could you introduce yourselves quickly and then we can get on to the show? I just want people to get an idea of what your background is. And Joe, will you start? Dr. Joe?
Dr. Joe Newsma with Superior Toxicology and Wellness. I've been on Sarah's show a couple different times, and I am in a practice where it's international consulting on everything pharmaceutical and toxicology related. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow, that was really good. I'm Dr. Loretta Ivory, and I'm retired from 30 years of clinical practice, and I now teach.
And you're an expert on, let's talk about, you're an expert on
antibiotics and gynecology. So
human health,
nutrition, complementary medicine. I have certified in, I'm a certified medical herbalist. I graduated from the School of Phytotherapy in Sydney, Australia. And so I have both sides. I have complementary medicine And then I have traditional allopathic medicine background.
But you also, you're an expert at on vaccines, which is really what I, that's the nut I want everybody to understand, is you talked about it from a technical scientific standpoint, but the mass listeners that are listening, she's an expert on vaccines. Okay, Max, go ahead.
I'm Max with Live Longer Labs. I'm the developer of multiple life extension products and do in-house research for the betterment of health, wealth, and society. In other words, I want to give you the best trip down this path as you can get. And the group of scientists, I have ex-NASA scientists and JPL scientists that work with me. And our goal is looking for solutions to the problems that are created against mankind.
And one of Max's best talents, I think, is being able to sift through the enormous amounts of information that comes through on a daily basis, critically think about it, and then return with what means something and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You guys all have been considered top 100 scientists in the world on multiple, working with multiple groups. So I just want to throw that out there. But did you have something else you wanted to say? Dr. Loretta?
No, I just said, he said I'm a BS filter.
Well, you are that. It's better than being a BSer. Okay.
What they said.
All right.
Okay. Let's dive right into this virus because it's, you know, I keep thinking I have a handle on what's going on and then more information's thrown at me. And this thing keeps mutating. There's more and more proteins involved, and it seems like there's elements of all these different past flus or past viruses that are built into this bioweapon, and maybe elements now, maybe not the Spanish flu, but it acts like the Spanish flu, that it could be going after young people as well, because I thought we all had a handle on it, that it was just the elderly. Can you talk, one of you, talk about what the elements of this virus is and what makes this such a moving, deadly target?
Well, you need to understand viruses in particular. Viruses are designed to dodge and evade everything that is put forth to get rid of that virus. The virus is a mutating machine.
Yeah.
So the very few proteins that make up a simple
coronavirus, simple cold.
Yeah, just a simple cold or coronavirus or any virus. It's a set of genetic instructions surrounding by these proteins, which help it interact with the cells that it wants to attack, whether those are mammal in the form of a bat, a snake, a human, or what. It's those receptors which gives the virus the entry into the cells. And then the virus, in all its simplicity, hijacks the cellular mechanism to replicate its genetic code that it has until there's so much virus in that cell that the cell can't sustain life anymore. It bursts, and then those virus, which are completely able to combine with other cells, goes out and find more hosts. And when there is a threat to the virus, that genetic code changes those proteins so that what we think will work today doesn't work on the next round of virus or the second round of virus or the third round of virus. So all we need is a few virons to survive that assault, and then it's going to change and mutate, so you got to come up with something new. And that's what makes this one so intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the fact that, you know, we all thought that it was just, you know, going after the elderly and people with immune compromised situation. And now there's starting to be a little bit more facts out there that it could be mutating into something that is going after people who are stronger, who have strong, the strongest immune systems. And you explained it well, Dr. Loretta, before we got on air, what was really going on there. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, the cytokine storm. When the body gets a level of infection, so we have a virus, any virus, going after target cells, just like Joe was talking about. And so let's just talk about lungs. And we'll make an analogy here, like with the 1918 flu. And so it's going to target the lungs. And then there's going to be so much inflammation that all the markers of inflammation come racing to the lungs, and the lungs get overwhelmed. So I'm going to use an analogy here of a big car accident on I-25 here in Colorado. So here's a big accident, and people want to help. And so all of these helpers come, and then the police come, and then the firemen come. But the problem is there's too much help. And so you get congestion, and then cells can't work. And when cells can't work, they can't heal. And then you get like fibrosis in the lungs. And then that's part of that cytokine storm. You've probably heard words like tumor necrosis factor and interleukin. Those are all substances that the cells make. They are pro-inflammatory in many cases. And so once they get activated, they make things worse.
And call in more.
And it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You just get more and more and more and more. And that's what happened in the 1918 flu, is you had young, healthy adults that over-responded. So they had too much of a good thing. And then they got fibrosis of the lungs. They started to heal. They started to recover. And then they got another exposure. And then that previous exposure becomes the pre-existing condition.
Well, and let's talk there about that, because there's more indication that people are getting it a second time, or they're not really getting it a second time. They've just never gotten over it and then re-get maybe another strand of it. Yeah. And then there's like a 30% fatality rate or something massive. I mean, these numbers are really hard to know.
Well, and you know, that makes sense. If all of this damage, so you've got fibrosis in the lungs, for instance, that's going to affect the heart. The heart's going to have to be working more because the lungs are not working properly. And that's going to take a long time to heal. That's not a, gee, my test just came back yesterday and I'm fine and I can go home. That takes time to heal. And that time to heal makes you susceptible.
Because your immune system, and you're weaker and everything.
Exactly. And in that time to heal, assuming that the virus is mutated again, like Joe says, which it does just like that, when you see the virus again, it isn't quite the same. And so the immune system says, oh, this is new. But you know what? I'm already depleted. I already don't have what I need to mount an immune defense. And like Joe says, it's going off the rails.
So then what happens in that case where your immune system is, you call it weakened or depleted, the better description is really your immune system's out of whack.
Yeah.
And the immune system is really a shadow player in the body. As long as it's in tune and operating efficiently, then everything's going to be copacetic. But as soon as your immune system gets out of whack, and that can happen by any number of reasons. It could happen by infection. It could happen by pharmaceutical products. It could happen by imbalance of parts that it needs to operate correctly. What it does is it takes whatever it has, calls in the cavalry, and puts out this signal that the body just throws everything into inflammation, because the inflammation is a body's response to something that it perceives as a threat. Mm-hmm. And if it goes crazy, that's when that inflammation reaction triggers the cytokine storm, and everything else that the body has comes to bear on that particular spot. And when that particular spot is the lungs, then your blood vessels get loose, so all these cells can get out of the bloodstream and into the lungs, and all of this fluid comes in, and literally you drown in your own secretions.
And we know that that's what the 1918 flu is, people drown.
Okay, so we have a situation where people with really strong immune systems and people with really weak immune systems, and it's all coming back to the same thing. It's all about inflammation. It's what your immune system is doing. You want a strong immune system because it fights off most diseases and illnesses, right? To not have a strong immune system is a silly thing. But in some cases... In some cases, having this, like the Spanish flu and a few strands, that creates an overreaction. So now we're talking about inflammation. And you really summed it up good before. Can one of you talk about inflammation and how we deal with that and what is going on there?
Well, inflammation is it's a perfectly normal body response to a threat or an injury or trauma.
It's a healthy response.
Yes,
too.
It's a healthy response, because what inflammation does is it gets the resources from the body in the area where it needs to heal. Mm-hmm. And inflammation is good for the body until it gets off track, out of whack, off the rails, just creating that cytokine storm. So what the body needs to do is it has to have breaks and a check on that inflammation system. So the body needs to know when there's enough inflammation and it's time to stop the inflammation. And what we see with the virus is that stop mechanism is gone.
It takes it out. For instance, like with the 1918 flu, when you had the spike protein that dissolves the cell membrane so that it can put its virus DNA or RNA into the nucleus of the cell, there are alarm points on the cell very close to that point that then send out the signal, help me, I'm under attack. Well, in the 1918 flu virus, the virus took out the alarm points. And so there wasn't a signal for the immune system to respond. And I wonder if something very similar is going on here, because we have asymptomatic carriers for such a very long period of time. I mean, it started out to be...
That's a very fancy medical term for saying people can be infected and not know it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they don't know. They don't have any symptoms. And so they're going around spreading it like Typhoid Mary, because they don't know they're sick. And
the virus lives on surfaces for days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just think about you go into the grocery store and 8 days earlier, somebody touched that grocery cart.
Or sneezed on it.
And then you grab it and go get your produce. And next thing you know, you're touching
nose.
Your face.
Yeah.
You know, we all touch our face all the time.
Yeah. I'll forward you a document from German study discussing that they tested the virus, and it stayed for up to 9 days on metal, plastic, and cardboard.
Yeah, so we all could be exposed to it. Millions got out of China before the quarantine even went forward, and they haven't been testing people. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it just is what it is. And, you know, I've been telling everybody to build up your immunities, and we really should be refocusing on building up your immunities and then dealing with the inflammation. But let me ask you, Dr. Joe, this one's for you.
Make sure that your inflammatories are up to speed too, because it's slightly different between building your immune system and making sure your bucket of anti-inflammatories is where it needs to be. You know, so that's your nutrition, that's your good health, that's your getting enough sleep, and that you're taking C60. It's that simple. C60 complete.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about why the C60 complete is, it not only deals with building up your immune system, but also deals with the inflammation issue. But I want to talk about having the being on a cocktail of pharmaceutical drugs and what that does to a body's immune system. And I realize there are certain drugs that people have to take, you know, if they don't have an alternative, but this is what you do. You help people get off these cocktails and come up with different solutions. But what does it do to your body when you're in this cocktail of, I don't want to say junk, but you know.
Well, a lot of it is junk. But the mantra that people need to realize is the pharmaceutical industry lives by the phrase, today's side effects equals tomorrow's therapies. And that mantra alone tells you that the pharmaceutical industry knows that when you swallow a tablet for one particular problem, there's a whole host of other things that drug does in the body. And they're paying very close attention to what those are. And when they see some other potential benefit, a side effect, they're going to market that drug product for that particular benefit. But if you're on a half a dozen different drugs, your body is really, you need an air traffic controller for each physical response of each drug and the side effects of that drug, and you need to make sure that there's no drug interactions. And every single HOPE analysis that I've done, I have found drug interactions in the people in the list of pharmaceuticals that they're on, because doctors don't have time to go through that. Dr. A puts them on this drug, Dr. B puts them on these two drugs, and Dr. C puts them on these three drugs, and the doctors don't talk to each other. And that's where people get sideways with their pharmaceutical products. And I was just reading an article yesterday that some very common pharmaceutical products, statins in particular, to lower cholesterols, can really change people's personalities. It changes their risk aversions and what they do and how they treat their loved ones, and they can wreck lives. And these people that are blindly trusting that their physicians know the best for them without doing their own research are putting their actual existence at risk. And then when you take something else like the coronavirus that comes up, which modulates your immune system to pit it against yourself for your own existence, if you're already compromised because you have a half a dozen different drug products on board, those drug products are going to suck up your anti-inflammatories and your defense mechanisms. That's your glutathione, that's your glucuronides, that's your glycine conjugates, that's your detoxification mechanisms of your entire body, which helps you deal with environmental exposures of living. If they're gone because of your pharmaceutical profile, then you don't have a chance against something like the coronavirus. It's that simple, Sarah.
Well, I got to ask you, are you still hosed on those many drugs if you're taking Cys-60? And this is a serious question, because I know this is a personal question, not for me, but for someone in my family who's on kind of a cocktail and I've got them on Cys-60. Does that overcome the cocktail of pharmaceuticals that are on? Or, I mean, you know,
I'm going to give you the toxicologist answer that I could, and that is, it depends.
Yeah.
Send me the list of drugs they're on, and I'll give you the best answer that I can as to what's okay. going to deplete their defense mechanisms and what's going to help them and give them the best case for managing the whatever exposures they're getting from life.
And I was going to say maybe also.
Yeah, it depends.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I guess that's my project is to...
Mine is that the Cys-60 Complete, especially, I think, if I hear what you are asking, if somebody's on a cocktail, will this help? And I'm going to say, I think it's probably going to,
yeah.
Because it's going to be anti-inflammatory. So
more times than not, it will help.
Because all these other drugs could be causing inflammation as a side effect of taking it. And if the body doesn't have a mechanism for reducing that, because we've taken out the cytochrome P50 pathway in the liver, you know, it can only do so much, then giving the body an anti-inflammatory, it's chicken soup, it can't hurt.
Right? Exactly.
It can't
exactly.
hurt.
Yeah. So did that answer your question?
Well, it did. It just means that we have more work
yes.
to do. I mean, it's not that simple. There's not always a silver bullet. It means that you got to get healthy, and this is really going to help you, but you got some other issues going on, so we got to deal with that too. I mean, it's just reality. It's life. But, okay, it is
really
what it
comes
is.
Into play is what type of toxic soup of exposure you're living in.
Right.
I mean, it's what else are you exposed to? You have your pharmaceuticals.
Air pollution.
You have your air pollution. You have
GMOs,
your indoor air quality. You have your GMO. You have,
Roundup.
I mean, yeah, and they're rolling out the 5G. Let's put everybody in the microwave.
Yeah.
And this doesn't, C60, you know, like let's say he's on this cocktail. It's not going to interfere with the cocktail in that way. You know, let's say it's one of them lowers the blood pressure.
Product that was C60
yet. Okay. I did a bunch of research for a client I have back in Virginia, and I wasn't able to find any information either.
Yeah, Max has kind of stumbled his way into a very, very effective product.
Yeah,
sorry,
I agree.
Max.
It's like the key source of life, kind of at a very foundational level. Let's talk about the numbers coming out of China. Right. We're seeing a 2%, and then I'm hearing 5%, and then I'm hearing a reoccurrence of, you know, somebody gets it again. It's 30% of those people, and of those people, it's 15% that get it again. 30. So now we're talking another 5% overall. I don't mean to confuse people, but let's say if it's 2% originally, and then 15% can get it again, and 30% of the people can get it again has a 30% fatality rate, that adds 5% approximately overall. So we're talking about a 7% overall. But I don't even believe any of these numbers. Do you believe the numbers coming out of China? How many people do you think really are getting sick? And I'm hearing reports that whole buildings of people are dying, and the, you know, the crematoriums are going 24 hours a day, and you know they're seeing all the gases in the air. What is going on?
Yeah, you can see them.
Well, if you look at it, you put it on a graph chart and do the actual numbers, the numbers in China do not match the graph. Those Iran, there's, if you go down the list and you do the mathematics on these and they hit an exponential point, they're still claiming that this climbing point, this skyrocketing event, is all of a sudden quagmired at a point, and they're not following through with carrying out that number. And if you follow that line, you know, it could be 100 times the number that we're actually being told if you do the algorithm on the math that shows the exponential climb. And we just haven't hit that number because we're not testing here in the United States. You know, I sent you the link with the doctor on the news talk where they literally shut him down, discussing that we don't have the ability to test. If we don't test, we have no knowledge of it existing. And
it allows for spread.
So
we're just running blind.
It's like, put your hands over your eyes, and we have
head in the sand.
100 cases here in the United States, yet somebody from Wuhan arrives in Washington, and it takes 6 weeks for it to migrate across the state to a student on the northern end of the state. Where did that go in the 6 weeks to get to that point? So that's 6 weeks of exposure.
Well, let me give you this.
And that's just one. That's one.
Okay, if six people died, that means that at the 2% rate, which we all think is low, that means at least three 300 people at least have it in Washington. And that's of what, 6 weeks ago or something. So what does that mean?
I read that it was like every person who's positive infects four other people.
Yeah, it's between
and
a 4.7.
So if you take that,
between a 4.7 and a 6.6 are not factor.
Are not factor, yes.
And you take how rapid that the virus replicates, it's, I think it's like on a 2 to 4 day doubling schedule. Mm-hmm. So without testing anybody, and the assumption is the initial infection, which is completely blind here in the States, in multiple states, it's going to emerge enormously all over creation, and then people are going to say,
oh, where did this come from?
I guess it was worse than we thought.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's what happened in China. You know, I think we all know that the physician who first raised the issue in December
called the alarm,
actually got arrested for spreading panic, and then eventually died of the virus himself. And then they kind of said, I guess he was right.
Assuming he died of the virus.
So we shouldn't be going
true.
There.
That's a good assumption. Yeah.
But you know, they're claiming 18 known reported cases in Washington State, and they have 6 deaths.
That's a 30% death rate, my math.
You know, that's 33 1/3. You know, by our math. So either they're not
testing
to prove. Yeah. The more people have it, or the kill rate is a lot higher than everybody is sharing. And we do not know.
As of 6 weeks ago. Because the people got it that died got it 6 weeks ago.
Right.
Or longer.
And what in the mammal family got it in that 6 weeks transition from south to north? You know, What animals? They say it came from a bat or a squirrel or a dead monkey or snake, whatever. But I'm just saying, so if it can cohabitate in various mammals, then we're only randomly testing a few humans, you know.
Let's dive into that thought. So you're saying that because most viruses jumping between species and cohabitating is not normal. Are you saying that this virus can live within animals and then go to humans and we can infect each other back and forth?
Well, there's a Pomeranian that's already been tested positive, and he was the pet of somebody who was positive. And so,
yes.
You know, was it a chicken and an egg? So did the Pomeranian get it and give it to his person, or did the person get it and give it to their Pomeranian?